Father, we thank you as we come to your word. We come to the fountain of life. Because the words that you speak, they are spirit and they are life. What we are about to share this morning did not come by the will of man, as the Bible says, because you are the author of the word we share. You moved upon men by your spirit, and they wrote these scriptures under the influence of the Holy Spirit. So, dear Lord, we thank you that as we receive your word, we receive your life, we receive your wisdom, we receive your instruction in righteousness, we receive the substance of faith that will help us to live the overcoming life that you have prepared for us as your people. For you said in your word that whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for helping us to build up ourselves up in our most holy faith this morning as we hear the word of God. For in Jesus' name we pray. Everyone says, Amen. Praise God. Luke chapter 1. Let us read together from verse 5. Luke chapter 1. We are going to read together from verse 5 down to verse 20 so that we can get it in a bit of context, at least for starters. So let's go from verse 5 to 20. Luke chapter 1. Let's go. There was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias of the course of Abia, and his wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless. And they had no child, because that Elizabeth was barren, and they both were now well stricken in years. And it came to pass that while he executed the priest's office before God, in the order of his course, according to the custom of the priest's office, his lot was to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. And the whole multitude of the people were praying without at the time of incense. And there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord, standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said unto him, Fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard. And thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. And thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. Many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God, and he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. And Zacharias said unto the angel, Whereby shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife well stricken in years. And the angel answering said unto him, I am Gabriel, that stand in the presence of God, and am sent to speak unto thee, and to show thee this glad tidings. And behold, thou shalt be dumb, and not able to speak, until the day that these things shall be performed, because thou believest not my words, which shall be fulfilled in their season. Hallelujah. Praise God forevermore. What a beautiful passage of scripture. And there are so many, many instructions in righteousness that we can glean out of the passage that we have read. But this morning we are going to focus on one basic truth that we find here, which is important for every one of us as Christians in our walk of faith. If we are going to walk this walk of faith successfully, we have to understand the simple truth that we are sharing this morning. Many times it's the little things that trip us up. Just as Bible says, it's the little foxes that spoil the vine. Because many of us as Christians, we major on the majors. But we often neglect the minors. And those minors that we neglect are actually the more important things of our Christian faith. Because they are the basic things. They are the foundational things. And if the foundation be destroyed, Bible says, what shall the righteous do? In other words, once we take the foundation out of place, then we have nothing else as Christians. It's just like a building. You take the foundation out of the building, the whole thing comes down. So we have to give due diligence to these foundational things, these foundational principles of our Christian faith. And so we see that clearly here in verse 20. But if we look at the background again, we can see that many times when we are even doing the right thing, so to say, as Christians, we are diligent in keeping the word of God, doing the pleasures of the Lord, we can have trouble in our lives. Because Bible says clearly here that both Zacharias and his wife Elizabeth were very committed to God. They were blameless in terms of pleasing God. They were such what we call today faithful Christians. Yet they had problem. They had no child. We don't know how long they prayed for a child, but they didn't have. But that didn't disturb Zacharias. He still went into the temple of God to do his duty. You know, some of us would have backslidden a long time. You know, you believe in God for something, and then you are wondering, but God, I've been walking in your ways. Blameless. I've kept all your statutes without missing any. How come I have this problem? How come you are not as faithful to me as I have been faithful to you? But we never heard Zachariah complain. He just kept on doing his business. But on this day, on this particular day, he was in the temple doing what he normally do, because it's his turn to do it for that time. And then God decided, it's time for me to visit Zacharias. It's time for me to show myself faithful to him in return. And the angel of the Lord comes right at the right side of the altar, as Bible says. And fear gripped him. Well, you know, don't think that Zacharias was a fearful man. But sometimes when you don't expect some things and they just come on the scene, you'll be taken aback. You know, this is a man of faith somehow. But then what happened in the temple shook him. Because he saw the angel of the Lord. And it wasn't an ordinary angel that came in the temple. This was an archangel, because Gabriel is one of the three archangels that God created. We all know that from scripture. There are three archangels that God created. Gabriel, who is the archangel of messages. He brings messages to men. So the all of the other angels that God created, one third of them are under his command. They are messenger angels. One of them was the one according to Daniel chapter 10 that was bringing the answer to Daniel. That wasn't Gabriel himself. That was just one of the angels under the command of Gabriel, a messenger angel. But then the prince of Persia withstood him and he couldn't pass because he's not an angel of war. He's just an angel of messages. But because of Daniel's persistence, God mobilized Archangel Michael, the angel of war, to fight that prince of Persia so that the messenger angel could bring the answer to Daniel. So we see that there is another archangel called Michael, and that is the one for war. Archangel Gabriel is for messages. And then there was also Archangel Lucifer. He was Lucifer before he decided to rebel against God and became Satan. And he led the one-third of the angels under his command in rebellion. And they are the demons and the principalities and powers and the wicked spirits that are in the atmospheric heaven today, because God cast them out of heaven. Hallelujah. So we thank God that the angel that appeared said to Zechariah that, well, it's time. Let's summarize it that way. It's time for you to see the faithfulness of God in your life. But what happened to Zechariah at this point? Let's look at it closely before we look at verse 20. Verse 18 says, "And Zechariah said unto the angel, whereby shall I know this?" In other words, he's asking for a sign. He's asking for a sign that is physical that will help him to know that what this angel is saying according to the word of the Lord shall surely come to pass, because the natural circumstances that he could identify with made it look impossible. I mean, many of us in this situation will wonder truly. I mean, I've been believing God for this thing for years now. I've even forgotten about it because I've made up my mind, well, it's not going to happen in my lifetime. So I'm just going to go about doing my father's business, so to say. Just doing God's business. I've prayed, I've believed, I've fasted, I've done everything, believing God for a child many years, and it's not happened. So, well, fine. Elizabeth, let's just do the best we can and then God will take us home. After all, at the end of the day, we are going home anyway. Praise God. So he says, well, what is the sign? How am I going to be sure that what God is saying to me will surely come to pass? Well, God doesn't want us to mess up his plan by our doubts and unbelief. So Archangel Gabriel said to him, well, you want a sign? It shall be So you don't talk against the plan of God and spout out unbelief out of your mouth. So I'm going to make you dumb. So you won't be able to say anything to defy what God has planned. Hallelujah. Isn't that wonderful? God didn't say, I'll make you dumb for life. So don't see it as punishment, really. But this is God's sovereignty and God's mercy and God's goodness working together to ensure that the blessing he prepared for Zechariah does not use his mouth to nullify it. Because many times when we begin to speak unbelief out of our mouths, we forfeit the blessing of God. Because without faith, it's impossible to please God. So we can see it in a positive light and not just look at it in the negative and say, well, why did God make him dumb like that? After all, he just asked for a sign. And he was just telling God the truth. I'm too old. Naturally speaking, I can't have a child anymore. My wife is too old. She can't have a child. So how am I going to be sure that what you are saying will surely come to pass in my lifetime? Well, let's lift our hands to God and thank God. God is such a good God. When he wants to bless you and reward you, he knows how to help you get it. Hallelujah. If he needs to shut your mouth like he did for Zacharias, he will do it. Hallelujah. Because God is faithful. He has a record of all our sacrifices to him, and he doesn't want any of us to miss it. So God simply said, well, I'm going to make you dumb. Not for life, but for the period of 9 months or whatsoever, until the day when the child is going to be named And then I'll open your mouth so that you can give the people the instruction I've given you. Because the name God told him was an unusual name in the family. Even on the day that John the Baptist was presented for the naming ceremony, all the people, when Elizabeth told them his name shall be called John, they looked in amazement and said, "What? John who? Where is that coming from? There's nothing like that in the family. How can we name him John? There's nothing like that. It's a strange name for the family." And then suddenly the mouth of Zechariah was open. And he told the people his name shall be called John. First he asked for a writing pad because he could not speak. And was scribbling something down that, well, John is the name. Hallelujah. But where we are going again this morning is verse 20. Verse 20, "And behold, thou shalt be dumb and not able to speak until the day that these things shall be performed, because thou believest not my words, which shall be fulfilled in their season." Please underline in your Bible right there, "my words," that the phrase, "my words, which shall be fulfilled in their season." My words, which shall be fulfilled in their season. My words. My words. This is not God saying the word of any man, but his own words. So God is teaching us that his words will definitely come to pass when the time he has appointed comes. So you and I can learn the basic principle of faith from here. That whatsoever God has promised unto us in the Holy Scriptures, God himself will fulfill at the right time. Because God says, "My words shall be fulfilled in their season." In other words, there's a season for fulfillment. Concerning every promise that I give to you, that's God's way. And that's God's way of dealing with us as men. We have to understand that. If we don't understand it, we are going to run into problems in our walk of faith. We are going to keep ourselves in that place of unbelief and doubt that would not help us to receive what God has promised. Because we need faith to receive the promises of God. And so, here we see again that the words of God shall be fulfilled in their season. Well, naturally speaking, we can identify with that. We all know that in natural settings, there are seasons and times for every event. Isn't that so? A farmer, for instance, knows that there is planting season and then there is harvest season. A wise farmer, when he goes to farm during the planting season, will wait patiently for the harvest season. Isn't that so? Farmers are patient people. You will never find a farmer who plants during the planting season and then goes back 1 week later expecting to get a harvest. Have you ever seen a farmer like that? No. They know that there is a season for harvest. And they just have to wait for the season. They can't get the harvest before the season. They just have to wait for it. It's as simple as that. So they are patient. But when it comes to us, particularly in Pentecostal circles, oh my, what is this waiting business for? Let's just get it now. I want to kneel down, close my eyes, pray, and then see Angel Gabriel appear in my room and say, "Oh, beloved of the Lord, oh, man of prayer, here is your answer." And then I'll feel good, won't I? And I feel a bit proud. Well, you know, my prayer can move heaven. Oh, glory to God. But you see, it doesn't happen that way all the time. Sometimes God can do it that way. He can kneel down, pray for something, and before you finish praying, the answer is just right there. But at times you pray for some things, you can't see the manifestation until the time that God has planned for it, which may be long. So what do you do then? Are you going to give up? Are you going to doubt God? Are you going to waver in your faith because it's taking long? That's why we have to understand this basic things about faith. The word of God will always be fulfilled in their season. Because before God makes a promise, he already set a time of fulfillment. In Genesis, God created seed. Bible teaches us. And he made a law for the seed. That every seed will have within itself the fruit. And they will bring the fruit forth in their season. And even told us in Genesis that as long as the earth remains, seed time and harvest. Summer, winter, night and day, cold and heat will never cease. So you see God setting things in order right from Genesis. And even amongst the seeds that God has created, we find variety of seasons of harvest. They don't all have the same season of harvest. If you plant, for instance, tomatoes today, you are going to have a harvest within a few months. Isn't that so? But can you plant orange today and have a harvest within a few months? It's not possible. Are they not all seeds? But they all have different seasons of yielding. And a wise farmer knows that. So he just has to wait. And that's the same thing with us spiritually. Sometimes you are believing God for some things and they happen fast. But then there are other times you are believing God for some other things and they take long. And you have the word of God to stand upon for all these things. And yet they are coming at different times. We have to understand these things. So that we don't forfeit the blessings of God. We just have to know that the word of God, just like a seed, because Jesus in Mark chapter 4 tells us that the word of God is a seed. Remember the parable of the sower? And when he was explaining that, he said the sower actually sows the word. In other words, the word is the seed. So the word of God as a seed will always come to pass in the season that God has appointed for that particular word. You have to just learn to wait for it. Whether it's a few months, or a few years, or many years, just wait for it. Because God already tells us his word will definitely come to pass in season. Hallelujah. So God says again, my words which shall be fulfilled in their season. Let's turn also to Isaiah chapter 55. Our walk of faith can only be steadfast to the degree that God has purposed for us if we understand the simple truth we are sharing this morning. Because many of us start out in faith, but we don't last the journey. It's happened to every one of us. Probably while you are studying the Bible, you come across a particular scripture that seems to speak to you because it's relevant to your need. And you get so excited. You say, oh, glory to God. I didn't know this was in the Bible. Oh, this is God speaking to me. This is what I need. And you get excited and you are jumping up and down your room. And then after a few months, the excitement is gone. Because you thought that when you were excited, that day you discovered that scripture, it should happen so fast. But then it's not happening as fast as you expect. And now it's like, well, did I really get it right? And then the devil is sneaking in on you and saying, well, you see, you are just jumping up and down for not making a fool of yourself. Can't you realize that you just got excited over nothing? You didn't receive any revelation from God. It's just you. God didn't promise you that. He promised it to somebody else. You are not good enough to get things like that from God. Just forget it. It's not for you. And if we don't recall to mind the simple truth that we are sharing this morning, we'll believe the lies of the devil. And say, maybe I just got excited for nothing. That was just my soul. It wasn't God speaking to me. No, God spoke to you. God spoke to you, but there is a season for fulfillment. And now the devil is trying to get you to doubt God so that you don't get the harvest in season. So you tell that devil, shut up. God cannot lie. The promises of God will be fulfilled in their season. Glory to God. I'll wait for the season of God. Just like the farmer waits for the season of harvest, I will wait. How will not thou, God? I know that God's word will never fail. And that's why we are looking at Isaiah chapter 55. When we have this basic truth at our fingertips, our walk of faith will be steadfast to the end. We can overcome every situation in life because faith is an overcomer. According to 1 John chapter 5 verse 4, faith can never lose. The reason we lose sometimes in our walk of faith is because we don't wait for the season. We are like too much in a haste. We want to plant the seed today, get the harvest tomorrow. But God says the time of harvest is not tomorrow. You have to wait for it. I have a time and a season for that promise in your life. Wait for it. Because when that time comes, I, myself, Jehovah, will make it good in your life. Just wait for it. Trust me with all your heart. I will bring it to pass in season. Just wait for it. Keep the faith going until the time of fulfillment. Hallelujah. Isaiah chapter 55. Simple truth, but very powerful. Can make a big difference in our walk of faith, whether we succeed or not. Isaiah 55, verses 10 and 11. Let's read together. Let's go. For as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. Hallelujah. I don't know of any better guarantee that we can receive from God about his word. This is the best guarantee you can get from God where his word is concerned. This is God himself giving us guarantee that his word will never fail to do what he purposes when he spoke it. So then, we can rest assured when we receive the word of God that addresses our need, we can rest assured that it will come to pass. All that we need to know is that God has a season for it. So we are going to keep waiting because it's going to come to pass. We don't know the season, but we know when the season comes, we shall see it. Hallelujah. The same thing God told Habakkuk. In Habakkuk chapter 2, remember? God said, even if the vision seems to be tarrying, wait for it. Because it will not tarry, it shall surely come, but there is an appointed time. In other words, there is a season for it. Habakkuk, your duty is to keep running, and keep waiting, keep hoping, keep believing, keep trusting until the day, because at the end, when that season comes, the vision will speak for itself. It won't even be by your hand, Habakkuk. God himself will perform it, and you will see it for yourself. Well, how many of us know that the farmer who sows the seed is not the one that brings the harvest? The farmer knows. He knows that the harvest is in the seed itself. And his own part is to plant the seed. And God's part is to make rain fall on the seed, make sun to shine on the seed, and then bring the harvest by his own hand. That's God himself bringing the harvest by his own hand in due season. Jesus also teaches us the same principle. Let's actually look at that before we make our notes today and close the service. Let's turn to Mark chapter 4. You see, once we understand the ways of God, the ways of the kingdom of God, where you and I belong, because we are in the world. We are not of the world. We are of God. We belong in God's kingdom. the kingdom of God operates by a system that is totally different from the system of this world. We have to understand that. So don't let us bring the mentality of the world into our dealings with God. There are two different kingdoms, two different laws, two different principles of operation. Look at what Jesus said here. Verse 26, Mark chapter 4. And he said, so is the kingdom of God, as if a man should cast seed into the ground, and should sleep, and rise night and day, and the seed should spring and grow up, he knoweth not how. For the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself, first the blade, then the hair, after that, the full corn in the hair. But when the fruit is brought forth, immediately he put it in the sickle, because the harvest is come. Oh, hallelujah. Isn't that wonderful? Jesus giving us a clear understanding of how the kingdom of God operates. And using natural experience to teach us the way of God. Because every farmer understands what Jesus is saying here. His duty is to sow the seed, but he doesn't know how it's going to grow. But he knows it will grow. How many farmers study biology to know how food, how seed germinates? They don't do all that. They just know, put this thing in the soil. Prepare the soil, gather out the stone, till the land, sow the seed, and weed it. And the harvest will come. They know that. They don't need to go and study biology and spend time looking at, okay, I will measure the stock, how they grow. They just know this thing naturally. This is the way it works. Hallelujah. And then when they have done their own part, they know that the seed will return a harvest in the harvest time. So they wait patiently. And when the harvest comes, they don't need a prophet to tell them the harvest has come, because they can see it themselves. When the time of fulfillment comes for your promise, you don't need a prophet to tell you it's here. You can see it yourself. Hallelujah. You see what God has done for yourself. Glory be to God. But between the time of your believing God and the time of the fulfillment of that promise, you just have to learn to wait. You have to learn to wait patiently. Hallelujah. So again, back to Isaiah 55. Thank God, thank God, thank God. So the word of God will never fail to come to pass. We can summarize it that way. The word of God will never fail to come to pass if you are patient enough to wait for the due season. God has a due season. Every promise he makes, just like with every seed he has created in Genesis, has a time of harvest. You just have to wait for it. And they all have different seasons and times of harvest. You might, for instance, have believed God for healing. And then it happens so fast. And you say, praise God, hallelujah. I believe God for healing. And look at it. It's happened even faster than I expected. To God be the glory. But then, you carry that same time into maybe you are believing God for something else. And then you are expecting the answer to come just as fast as it came with the healing you believe God for. But then it doesn't come that fast, and then you begin to worry. Well, this is a different seed now. That's a different season of harvest. Just wait for it. You have to understand all these things. Don't bring the harvest time of one seed to bear upon that of another seed that is different. Just know every seed has their own due season. Wait for it. That's your duty. Just wait. Wait, 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 wait for it. Wait patiently and keep your ground of faith until the manifestation of the fulfillment. Verse 11 again says, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth, it shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. God cannot lie. This is the truth. You can close your book right there and say, this is just the truth. I don't care what anyone else says. I don't even care what I think. What God has said is the truth. His word will never fail to come to pass. I agree with him on that. Totally. Because God cannot lie. It's just a question of me believing God, trusting in him, and waiting patiently for him for his due season. Hallelujah. Let's make some notes and then you can go home meditating that, because we want to redeem the time a bit today. Remember, we are going out in the community to reach out with some good things for the people today in the name of Jesus. And God is going with us because we are doing that which God has called us to do. We are here as the light of the world and the salt of the earth. We are here as the people that God can use to share his compassion with those that are out there. See, God is a compassionate God, and we have to have compassion for the people that are all around us. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Please write this down. Every promise of God, or if you like, every word of God, every promise of God will surely come to pass if you believe it steadfastly. By steadfastly, I mean without changing ground, without giving up. You start believing, you keep believing until the end. That's what I'm trying to get across to us. So every promise of God will come to pass in your life and in my life if we make that personal or individual choice to believe steadfastly. In front of that, please write these scriptures. Joshua chapter 21, verse 45, reading in context from verse 43 to 45. And Joshua chapter 23 and verse 14. Quickly, let's turn to those two scriptures. Both of them are in one book, so we can navigate our ways there quickly. Joshua chapter 21. Look at what Joshua, the faithful servant of Moses that God called to step into the shoes of Moses and lead the people into the promised land. Now he became very old. He had done what God called him to do, and is recounting the truth to the people and encouraging them to live and walk in the ways of God even after he would have departed from them. All right, let's look at that first in chapter 21, verses 43 to 45. Let us read together. And the Lord gave unto Israel all the land which he swore to give unto their fathers, and they possessed it and dwelt therein. And the Lord gave them rest round about according to all that he swore unto their fathers. And there stood not a man of all their enemies before them. The Lord delivered all their enemies into their hand. There failed not aught of any good thing which the Lord had spoken unto the house of Israel. All came to pass. Hallelujah. In other words, every promise God made unto Abraham, and unto Isaac, and unto Jacob, concerning how he will give the land, the promised land, to their descendants, God fulfilled every single one of them, not just some of them, all those promises, not one of them failed. Our God is faithful. He keeps his promises. But we all know it took a long time, didn't it? For starters, when God made the promise to Abraham, it took 400 years for them to be slaves in Egypt before God visited them to bring them to the promised land. See how long it took? But it came to pass. How many of us can wait for 400 years today to see the promises of God? Many of us can't even wait for 1 week. Ah, it's like God, ah, it's taking too long. Time is running out. Do it quickly now. God is saying, don't worry. I know when to do it. Just wait for it. I have a due season. I will perform it in due season. Wait for it. But we don't want to wait. Why? Because we grew up in a world that teaches us not to wait for anything, to be in haste. You see, that's where the problem is. The mentality of the world is different from the mentality of God. That's why the Bible teaches us not to be conformed to the world, but to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. We learned the ways of the world before we came to Christ. Right from infancy, when we went to school, they taught us how to make haste. In fact, they will tell you, make hay while the sun shines. Get it done quickly. But God says, no, I'm not in that kind of business. I'm in the business of slow and steady. But we say, no, that one is not going to make these things happen fast. We need to be quick. God says, no, slow down. Slow down because I control all the elements of creation. They are all under my control. And nothing can get out of my hand if you trust me. Hallelujah. But we need to learn the ways of God. Chapter 23, verse 14. Let's read together. And behold, this day I am going the way of all the earth. And you know in all your hearts and in all your souls that not one thing hath failed of all the good things which the Lord your God spake concerning you, all are come to pass unto you, and not one thing hath failed thereof. Isn't that wonderful? So Joshua says, well, I'm old now, I'm ready to depart, go back to God. But I'm calling to your attention this truth about God. He is faithful. He never fails to keep his word. He is faithful. God is so faithful. And we have to understand that about God. God is a faithful God. He keeps his word. He's not like you and I as men. Sometimes we make promises to people and then we disappoint them. In fact, some people, when they make promise to you, and somehow, because they can't keep the promise, they start avoiding you. How many of us have been through that? It's normal. They start avoiding you. And you'll be wondering, why are they avoiding me now? Somehow, you just can't find them anymore. When they know you are coming, they will leave the house. So you get to their home. Even though you already told them, oh, I'll see you tomorrow. They will just leave the house. You can't get them. Last man for you. They can disappoint you. But God is not like that. Write this down also. For us to experience the fulfillment or the coming to pass, if you like, of God's promises in our lives, for us to experience the fulfillment of God's promise, we need to agree with God in our thoughts. That's where we stumble many times. The devil comes in our thoughts. That's why the Bible says we should hold every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10 verse 5. We have to hold every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. Because the devil sneaks in through our thoughts. The same way he did in the Garden of Eden. As God said, oh, you say you are believing God for this breakthrough. Can't you see you can never get it? Can't you see all the evidence before you? Forget it. It's not going to work. Just forget it. It's not going to happen. Stop wasting your time. Stop trying to say you are a person of faith, because all the circumstantial evidence before you is saying you cannot get the word of God fulfilled in your life. Well, the choice is yours. Whether you are going to believe God or lean on your own human understanding. Every one of us has to make that choice on a daily basis. That is why it is important that we train ourselves as Christians to live by the word of God. Let's forget about what people say. Let's forget about what we think. Let's forget about how we feel. Let us believe God's word, because God is faithful to keep all his promises. Not one of the promises of God will ever fail. That's the faithfulness of God for us. It's not like men, like you and I are. Many times we are flaky. Many times we don't even keep our promises. But God keeps his own. Oh, God keeps his own. He never fails. In fact, put your finger right there with me again. Oh, okay, in front of that statement, please write this scripture. I'll come back to it and close that statement in a short while. Write Proverbs chapter 23, verse 7. Which we all know, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. And Amos chapter 3 verse 3, can two walk together unless they be agreed? If your thought is not in agreement with the thoughts of God, you cannot receive the promises of God fulfilled in your life. God wants us to agree our thoughts with him. We have to be of one mind with him. Bible says we have the mind of Christ. Let us reason with our, not with our own natural mind, but with the mind of Christ, which is the word of God. Jesus is the word. Now, turn with me quickly to Hebrews chapter 10. You see, we have to know the character of God, our Father, because you can't follow a stranger. You can't really trust somebody you hardly know. Many of us as Christians don't take time to study the Bible and learn about the character of God, our Father. And that's why we run into problems in our walk of faith. We begin in excitement, but soon the excitement dies out. And then doubt comes in, and we become double-minded. And we are not so sure anymore that what God said to us will happen in our lifetime. No, God never fails to keep his word. We have to know him as the faithful God. He is not like man. Don't bring the mentality of our human nature to your walk of faith when you have to deal with God. God is higher than us. His ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. Hebrews chapter 10. And let us read together verses 22 and 23. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 22 and 23. Let's go. Let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith. Please underline the word full. When something is full, that means there is no space for anything else. So our faith should be full of assurance based on the promises of God. We are not entertaining any other thoughts. We are simply agreeing with God in our hearts that what he says is the truth. Having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Verse 23, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. Why? For he is faithful. That promise. We don't waver in our walk of faith, not because of us, but because of God who has given us the promise, because we know him as the faithful God. To be faithful means to be loyal, to be dependable, to be constant, unchanging. That's what it means to be faithful. You can say, this person will be here at this time unfailingly. And that's what you can say about God. But can we say that about ourselves? Not always. But God, you can vouch for the truth where God is concerned, because he's the God of truth. It cannot be anything else. If it tells you, I will visit you tomorrow, you better wait, because it will keep its promise. But when man says, I'll visit you tomorrow, you can take it with a pinch of salt, because the man may not show up. And they just end up wasting your time. But God will surely come. Hallelujah. He is faithful who has promised. Now let's go back to the statement and end it. Again, we said we need to agree with God in order to see or experience the fulfillment of his promises. We need to agree with God in our thoughts. And then complete the statement by saying, so that our faith and hope may be set upon God. That's whom we set our faith on, not ourselves, but on God who has given us the promises. In front of that, please write Hebrews chapter 11 verse 1 and Hebrews 10:23 that we just read. Again, Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for. So if you say you are believing God, you have to have hope that what you are believing God for will come to pass. If you cannot believe that what you are believing God for is going to come to pass one day down the line, then you don't have faith at all. Faith works with hope. That's the truth. Faith works with hope. So what's the point of me saying, I believe God will heal me, but then I'm planning my funeral? You see, that doesn't match at all. That means I actually hope to die. And yet I'm saying, I believe God. I believe God. I will not die. I will live to declare the works of the Lord in the land of the living. Well, I go, the next thing I do is to visit a funeral. Oh, God, have mercy on us. That's not faith at all. Faith has to do with what we hope for, that we believe today, because we are waiting for the fulfillment tomorrow. Glory be to God. All right. Finally, please write this down. Agreeing our thoughts with the Word of God will help us to wait patiently. In order to receive the physical manifestation in due season. Our agreeing our thoughts with the Word of God will help us. We need help, every one of us. We need something to help us, something to lean upon away from ourselves. The substance of God to help us walk this walk of faith successfully unto the end. And it starts in here. As a man thinketh in his heart, so it is. So when we agree our thoughts with the Word of God, we will be able to lean on something that will help us to wait patiently for the physical manifestation of what we are believing God for in due season. Hallelujah. Again, write the scripture that we began with in front of that. Luke chapter 1 verse 20. God said his words will be fulfilled in their season. God's word will never fail. He will fulfill his word in their season. And also Hebrews chapter 6 verses 12 to 15, Hebrews chapter 10 verse 36. Let's look at those two scriptures as we close. Praise God. Hebrews chapter 6. Oh, thank God for faith. And thank God for the understanding that God is faithful and he keeps his promises. He never fails. Hebrews chapter 6. Let's read together verses 12 to 15. that you be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. For when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself, saying, surely blessing I will bless thee, and multiplying I will multiply thee. And so, after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. Not before. Not before he had patiently endured, but after. In other words, when God made the promise, Abraham did the right thing. He patiently waited, and then the promise came to pass. That's how it works. God's promise will come to pass for you. God's word will never fail in your life, but you just need to wait patiently for the time of fulfillment. Hallelujah. Hebrews 10, verse 36. Let's read that together also. For you have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. Well, if God says you need something, you better don't try to walk your way around it. If God says you need something, then just say, praise God, I have to get it, because God says I need it. So I need patience, so I have to get patience, because God says I need it, in order to receive fulfillment of his promises in my life. It's as simple as that. And patience simply means keeping on in believing without giving up. You just keep looking at that promise. Every time your thoughts drift away from it, you get your Bible out again and meditate in it and keep your thoughts back in line. That's what Bible means by holding every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. Because our thoughts will drift away sometimes. Why? Because we have an adversary called the devil who doesn't want us to inherit the promises of God. So he will try to get us to doubt. But we have to fight the good fight of faith. We need to pay the price. Let us pray this morning. We have heard the word of God. We see clearly from what we have shared this morning that God never fails to keep his promises. The promises of God will always come to pass in our lives in due season. The question is not whether the word will come to pass or not. It is whether we are willing to wait for the due season of the Lord. And this is why we need grace. The grace of God to help us not to faint in our walk of faith. That as we step out in faith, we keep going until we get the manifestation of what we are believing God for. When you have a need, the first thing to do is search the scriptures, find out what the promise of God says, so you can have the basis of faith and hope in God that you can add patience to in order to receive the fulfillment in due season. The word of God as promises that cover all aspects of our human need. There is no area of life that God has not spoken about in the scriptures. We just need to search the scriptures and find out his promises. And then meditate in them diligently day and night, and keep our focus on the word of God. Look away from the trouble. Look away from those circumstances that the enemy is bringing against us, contrary to the word. We just focus on the word, knowing that God will surely perform his word, and the promises of God will overrule and override everything that the devil is doing against us in due season. So let's ask for grace. Bible says we can come boldly unto the throne of grace. And we will find mercy there. We'll find grace also to help us in the time of need. We need grace. We need grace not to give up. We need the strength of God not to faint. We can't do it in our human strength. We can read the Bible. We can get excited over the scriptures there, but to stand our ground in faith and patience, particularly when those promises seem to be taking long in our lives, we need grace. And grace is available for us. When we ask for it, God knows how to minister it to us and strengthen us in our own human weaknesses. The Holy Spirit in us is the Spirit of grace. It strengthens us with the might of God in our inner man. This morning, ask Him for grace. Ask Him to supply unto you. Ask Him. Talk to Him. He's your Father. He can hear your voice. It is His pleasure to give us the kingdom. Bible says, no good thing will He withhold from them that walk uprightly. He brought us grace because He knows we need grace. He knows we can't do it in our own human strength. And so He brought us grace through our Lord Jesus Christ. And dear Heavenly Father, this morning we humble ourselves before Your hand. What we have shared this morning, we cannot be doers of without You helping us. And so we ask for Your strength, Your grace to be multiplied to us and to our fellow brethren in the body of Christ. That every one of us will have what it takes to believe You and keep our ground of faith in You until the fulfillment of Your promises in our lives. Thank You because You are faithful, as promised. And so we know that not one of Your promises will ever fail in our lives as we receive grace from You to keep believing until the very end. Thank You for it, Lord. For in Jesus' name we pray. Everyone says, amen. Lift your hands to Him again and thank Him. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, glory be to God in the highest. We praise You, Lord. Hallelujah.